are listening to WQED's Voice of the Arts podcast. I'm Emily Bruner, and today we have in the studio theater maker Lindsay Goranson. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
All right, so we're going to talk about your new show. It's upcoming at the New Hazlett Theater as part of their community-supported arts season, CSA season. It's the last show of the season, so very exciting, and it's called Apis. It's a really interesting name. I'm really excited about it. It's running Thursday, April 18th to Friday, April 19th, three shows, two evening, one matinee. So, Lindsay, can you describe to us what Apis is about? Because there's a lot of things about this.
Yeah, there are. Apis is about a female-identifying human who works in an underground food market called Monomart. And their life is not very exciting, but they're kind of happy with how it is until they are visited by a blue orchid bee from the future named Bazinga Bob. And Bob has traveled through time to change their history. And so Apis has to decide whether or not they want to help change the future.
Okay. And is this set now? Is it apocalyptic? Because there's some time bending. So when are we supposed to be in here?
We're in a couple of different times.
Okay.
I like to think of it as the past, the present, and the future. Our audience being in the past, actually.
Okay. Oh.
Apis being in the present and Bob being in the future.
Okay. When you set out to create this show, what was going on in your mind? Like, it's such an interesting concept. So how did you come up with it?
It sort of started as an idea about what if only the very, very rich could buy produce. I had people, I used to live in Nashville, Tennessee, and at the grocery store, I would sometimes buy kale or cauliflower, and I had a lot of people ask me what those things were, which surprised me. And so that idea kind of started there, and then during the pandemic evolved into, it was going to be an immersive, and then it was became a video, one-on-one interactive piece, and then my work with the New Hazlett just kind of led me to think maybe I could take this idea and turn it into a full-length play.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of evolved over the years.
It really has. Yeah. It's probably been about 5 years maybe since the initial idea.
Okay. So I've been sitting on it a lot. Has a lot of the plot story changed or is it?
It has. Yeah. I think when I originally started, the focus was on this underground market where fresh produce is sold. And as I followed, tried to figure out why that would happen and just the background of the story, it came down to bees. That's a big part of why our food system could essentially fail is these pollinators are being worked to hive collapse and a lot like a lot of humans, actually. And so, yeah, it just became something that I realized, hey, wait, we got to protect these bees if we want to protect our food.
Yeah, yeah. And it mimics a little bit like the bees, like how you talked about how bees are really getting overworked and humans are too, to an extent, about food production.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And what do you want your audience to walk away with? Like what was in your brain of like, this is what I want people to know about?
I think one of the things that I'm really exploring with the piece is smallness. And I think that's because everything in the world feels so big and heavy right now. It's hard to imagine how one individual can really make a difference. And I kind of just want people to feel like there's a joyful community out there to advocate for our environment. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. That if we work together, we can do it just by maybe laying things down instead of picking new things up, things that we can go without to make things better for everyone.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great thing to come away with for a story.
Yeah, I hope so, and hopefully like a lot of laughter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there are a lot of different elements of this story, in addition to just not the story, but like physical elements. You have puppets. Ooh, I love puppets. Tell me more about the puppets.
As I was thinking about the story, one of the themes that I also was exploring is aloneness or isolation. And so there's actually only one human character in the play. Everybody else is a puppet.
Wow.
So we have Bob the blue orchid bee who is in miniature, smaller scale. And then we also have Niftybot and Knotbot, who Niftybot is a co-worker of Apis at the Monomart. And Knotbot is where they go to sell their apple in the underground market. And then we also have Nan, the great Allegheny Mound ant, who is a 4-foot-tall ant puppet.
Wow.
Who's based on actually Susie Hot Rod from the Gotham Girls roller derby.
Yeah.
I was a cheerleader for them. And so this character is based on her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool. I love how there's so many different sizes of puppets. It's not just one size. It's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And who's your collaborators? Like, who made the puppets for you?
Well, I did all of the designing. I have had an incredible amount of help from D.T. Burns, who is our key puppet operator on the show. They have worked with me very closely in the fabrication and development of the puppets to make sure that our operators are comfortable and safe. And then our second puppet operator is Rory Janney. And both of those artists are bringing these puppets to life in just in ways that surprise me every day.
Oh, that's fantastic. And the runtime, an hour-ish?
Yeah, it's about an hour. About an hour, I'd say.
Yeah, that's not bad. So it's perfect. Nice show to go see. You walk away with something afterwards. And
yeah, I hope that people walk away. There's a couple of things that we can do to advocate for bees and for our food supply. Mm-hmm. And so I hope people walk away with an evening of fun and laughter and maybe some new information.
Yeah. And since you've been working on this show a lot, are you going to continue? Like, is this going to come back?
That's a great question. I do hope that it comes back and continues to evolve. I would really love to partner with some scientific contributors. I did get to speak to someone over at the Natural History Museum and see the bee archives.
Oh, their bee collection. Yeah.
Which was stunning. So I'd like to see more of that and kind of bring the science components into the sci-fi theater world. More of that. And then eventually I think it will be a full-scale immersive. That's where I'd like to head with it.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. I can't wait if it comes to being. Yay! And you yourself, you are a theater maker, and I say theater maker because you do a lot. You wear a lot of hats. costume design, set design, writer, director. I mean, oh, wow. That's a lot. So how did you get into theater? What was, like, your aha moment?
Theater for me started when I was really little.
Yeah.
I'm from Wyoming, and so there's a whole lot of nothing there.
There is.
And so I grew up mostly kind of in the irrigation ditch behind my house in my own imagination. Mm-hmm. And I was an avid reader when I was small and then didn't say much until I was like 12. And then became a part of 4-H in my town and started acting in theater then, probably when I was about 8 or 9.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, so a while ago.
Yeah, lifelong love affair.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. And are you, when you do shows, are you always in sci-fi land, or do you do other genres as well?
I'm trying to think. So this is my first full-length piece that I've written.
Oh, okay. Congrats.
Thank you. But I do have an interest in sci-fi. That's my history. I grew up, like I said, in Wyoming, and the things that entertained me were frequently computers and movies and television series like Star Trek and, you know, and even like, gosh, some of the other ones I'm trying to think of, like The Littles and Gem and the Hologram, you know, just like all the weirdness from my youth.
Oh, that's really cool. And when you do costume and set design, like how do you go about designing stuff? Like, what's your...
Most of my work begins in a lot of research. I love digging deeply into shapes, whether it's for costume design, shapes and fabrication ideas, or in production design. A big piece of what I do is upcycling. I like to think about the environmental impact as well as the emotional impact of the work that I do. So the process usually begins with just a lot of research, and then I draw And then I start fabricating as soon as possible, and I go out into the world and find things that I can repurpose, rescue.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. And can I ask what kind of medium do you draw in? Because I know a lot of costumes and set designers, they have all their, like, they draw or they color or they use water paints or they use pastels.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your favorite?
I'm a very tactile person. Mm. I like fabrics and objects when I draft. Even for characters, when I worked as a performer, it was always objects.
So almost like a collage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, those are fun, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you can pull pieces of, like, I like this element of this thing and this element of this thing, and let's see if they work together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like seeing, I'm really interested in the tension between things. So whether that's textures or colors or light and darkness, I like really high contrast thing, so that's usually a pretty big component as well.
Yeah. And this is not your first time with New Hazlett. This has been a couple times.
Yes, I have been lucky enough to work with the New Hazlett I was trying to remember 6-7 projects, something
wow,
like
okay.
that. Primarily as a designer. This is my first try as an artist in the front. But yeah, I've done work as costume designer, production designer, and a set designer.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting that you're on the flip side of that. Has it been very odd to yes?
Very.
Has there been any challenges? Have you been like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Oh yeah, all the time. I think a lot of the artists that I know are in a constant state of, oh my God, what am I doing?
That's fair.
Yeah. But it's been a big shift to change from being the person that's speaking the words to being the person that's writing the words. Mm. There's a lot to hold. There's a lot of responsibility, which I guess was kind of a surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
The authority and the power that comes with being the person that's building the world.
Yeah.
A big part of that has been exploring how to do that compassionately for me.
Yeah.
And take those experiences that I've had in the past and see how I would like theater to be made going forward, like a kinder, more compassionate theater.
Yeah, more collaborative, more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I always like that too.
Yeah, less siloed.
Yeah, yeah, because it's not supposed to be siloed. It's supposed to be collaborative. You're supposed to hear other people's voices.
Exactly, and I think that I'm so frequently inspired by things outside of my own medium.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes not knowing how you're going to do something and getting a bunch of people with a bunch of different experiences in the room can come up with really interesting ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can change something completely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. For the better, probably. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about APIS?
I want to just say that I'm really excited about the collaborators that I'm working with. I'd love to just call a couple of them out, like Ramin Akhavaju is my composer, who
He's
is doing
wonderful.
Some beautiful, stunning work, and also an artist who's really interested in how nature and technology meet, which is something that I'm interested in as well. And also, I have miniature designers that I'd really love to give a shout out to. Ken and Amy Walls, who are actually based in Nashville, Tennessee, have created this quarter-sized space pod that Bob lives in.
Oh.
And that piece will be projected behind the playing space, so we'll be able to really dig deep into Bob's life, the puppet's life.
Oh, that's so cool. I love miniatures.
Me too.
They're so cute.
Me too.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for talking with me today about APIS, and good luck next week.
Thank you so much for having me.